I have three guests with me in studio. Heidi Brower from Hollard Insurance, Chief Marketing Officer. David with a very difficult surname. I'm going to try though. Pasipanodia.
Got it.
Am I right? Yeah. Am I good?
Yeah, very
sorry,
good.
And please introduce yourself because I didn't get your surname at all.
Eddie Mashlong.
Eddie Mashlongo, part of the marketing department at Hollard. And I'm just thinking, oh my goodness me, I've got such a feeling of deja vu. I've been here before.
Yeah, it feels like yesterday, actually.
It does, but so weird for me, like a year's passed already. Who
I
would
know.
Have thought, hey?
Yep, time flies and we're ready to go purple again.
I'm just going to say, you're wearing the Hollard purple. I can see that. Mm-hmm. Eddie's sitting here in his Speedo, and Kathy isn't here. That's normally the highlight of her year is the Hollard runner in the Speedo. Okay. Why are you in purple and why are you in a Speedo and what's going on?
So, I'll just kick off and then, my two, colleagues can pick up from there. So we've been doing, this is in fact our 10th year, our 10th run, Daredevil, which is all about raising awareness for male cancers. You know, women's, cancers get a lot of airplay and male cancers are, you know, men don't talk about stuff, never mind anything else. And I can say that as a wife and a mom of two men.
Men don't, and they also, it's a very invasive exam that needs to be done.
Well,
for a guy.
And what we want to teach is that actually you don't have to go there first, right? So there are other ways of testing. And so we talk about testicular and prostate cancers. There are other ways of testing that don't have to be invasive right from the beginning. And from Hollard's point of view, it's so important that we help people to live life to the fullest by taking care of things so that they can live a great life. And we take a subject that's quite serious and we make it lighthearted because there's nothing more crazy than seeing people run down 5Ks in Speedos. It's magnificent.
I've got to tell you, I really take my hat off to them. I, since you have last been here, have a purple Hollard Speedo in my bag and there's just no way I'm taking it out.
I'm pretty sure I gave it to you.
You did.
And we look forward to seeing you next Friday. Eddie will tell you how it's not so scary. Yeah,
so, Eddie, now you who are sitting here in a freezing cold studio with no clothes on bar a tiny Speedo called a budgie smuggler in Australia, by the way, for very obvious reasons because something's been smuggled by a budgie. But yeah, are you doing this? Is this your first? Tell me the story.
Yeah, so thank you for being here. And then so I've been part of all at the Devil Run since 2009. And the cause is actually close to my heart. And the reason why I'm participating in this is because I believe in the cause. And also, I'm trying to create more awareness out there to share with men out there to take responsibility of their health. Because cancer actually affects all men of size, shape, and race.
I hear you 100%. And, you know, although they say that more men die with this rather than because of it.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I think it's all about early detection, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, and
correct,
I think that, correct. You know, David's got an incredible story.
So that's where I wanted to go. Mm. David, I think you're the hero in the room. Oh. Because you're the man who's actually, you're the survivor. Tell us your story.
Well, I got diagnosed with prostate cancer way back in 2011.
Yes.
I was living in Sydney then in Australia. It was in fact on the 1st of March when I'd gone for normal blood tests. I hadn't gone to screen for prostate cancer at all. And then when I went to collect the results on the 1st of March, I got in there and my urologist, before I sat down, told me, you have prostate cancer. And I was absolutely shattered.
Was this just as a result of a PSA test?
It was just as a result of a PSA test, yes.
Okay, so listen guys, you heard it. You can get the results from a blood test. It doesn't have to be an invasive examination at all. And tell me something, the fact that you're sitting here, I mean, I'm taking it, this is a good news story. Let me not assume anything. How are you and how did you deal with it?
Well, of course, initially I was devastated and I had two brothers who had died of cancer.
Wow.
And the doctors were saying that because of that, cancer was in the family. And my cancer, because they also use what they call a Gleason score on a scale of 1 to 10, the higher out of 10 it is, the more aggressive it is.
Okay.
So mine was 8/9 out of 10.
Okay.
So I was petrified as a result of that. And for the first 6 days after the diagnosis, I could hardly sleep. And then on the sixth day in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, I was lying in bed and I remembered, I asked myself, who am I? What am I doing here in Australia? 15,000 kilometers away from home. And I remembered I was a life coach. And I'd had clients that I'd worked with. Many of them had come back to me and said they were very grateful that I'd helped them to deal with their different challenges, relationships, work, and all that kind of thing. But especially when I had been sharing with them the fact that in this life, it's not so much what happens to you, but rather how you choose to respond to what happens to you that makes a difference. And that kind of flipped my mind. And I realized that for those first 6 days, I was running myself down. I was, in fact, holding on to fear. And I was using fear as a clutch.
I think you're being a bit hard on yourself, because I think that's a very normal reaction. The fact that you then said, enough, I need to be positive about this now and beat it. But I mean, I would imagine that's part of the process of a diagnosis.
Yes.
Dealing with the
trauma. I mean, I know many people who didn't survive that cave, who didn't come back up. And I did. And I think because, well, partly I was a life coach and I told myself, it doesn't matter whether my brothers died of cancer, I'm choosing to fight this cancer, you know, right up to the end. So that positive mindset really helped me to be able to navigate my way through 18 months of treatment.
Were you involved in the decision as to what treatment you were going to have or not? I mean, because I know there's radiation treatment, there's operations, there's complete removal, there's different ways the doctors are able to treat prostate cancer.
Yes, I was given all those options. And in fact, I was told maybe most advisable was I should go for chemotherapy. But I said no to chemotherapy. I said no to an operation. And I said, okay, I'll go for radiation therapy. And also what they call hormonal therapy. So I did those two in terms of the conventional medicine. And then I also used a lot of natural health interventions. I consulted with the naturopathy.
Are you clear today? Are you clear? Are you
18 months after the diagnosis, I went for tests and they said the cancer had gone into remission.
Is it your experience of men that they are embarrassed to talk about these things, or that they're reluctant to go for testing?
I know I've talked to many men, they are reluctant to talk about it, also very uneasy about going for testing.
I kind of, that makes an element of sense, although we have to have a mind change because it's life and death. I mean, you can save your life.
And that's why we do it in such a crazy way, because we want to, it's not the hugest run in the world, but we do get 4,000 men who are brave enough to go running through peak hour traffic in a Speedo, and we always say that it's braver to do that than to fight. You know, you don't want to fight cancer. But the reason that we do it is because people talk about it. They take photos and they post it and they talk about it and they have conversations. And we've got misperceptions about the fact that it's a white man's disease, and it's not. It's every man's disease. Mm. We have perceptions that it hasn't happened to younger men. And testicular cancer is a younger man's disease.
Really? So now you're telling me something I didn't. I just assumed it was an older guy's.
No, so testicular is prevalent in younger men, and so we teach even school children how to do testicular self-examination. And I'm being very serious now. We normally talk about,
you know,
checking. We say, you know, that women are taught to check their breasts. Young men have to learn to check their nuts. That's what you got to do.
100%.
And you know, it's remarkable on the day, the camaraderie from the men. I mean, Ed can tell you. I mean, you think that the guys are going to put their clothes on immediately after they finish the run, because it's not a race, but you can't tell men not to race. But I mean, Ed can tell you the vibe. It's just incredible.
It's just incredible. I mean, with my story, that I mean, when I sat and looked at myself before I actually joined or put the speedo on, I actually thought, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. I can do it, and it's scary. But the minute I put my speedo on and I'm around 1,000 other men, it's just so incredible. And
is there a sense of camaraderie?
Exactly, the sense of camaraderie, and everybody's just so comfortable because now it's not, you're not alone.
Do you know what's so funny about this guy? I'm looking at him and his glasses and his whole appearance. He's like such a suited corporate type. I can see him in the suit and that. I have him sitting like right next to me, like basically with no clothes on. It's kind of, it's just bizarre. And all I'm saying to you is like hats off to you.
And you must see what's on the back of his speedo, actually, Ed, if you don't mind.
Let me show you what it says.
What does it say? Board shorts off of sissies.
And it's in gold because we're celebrating our 10th, run this year. So in fact, correct, all the new speedos are all printed in gold. So if you do the run this year.
Yeah.
And in fact, what's the other important thing is that, all the proceeds, so we funded at Hollard, and all the proceeds, all the entry fees go towards, Cancer Association, and the Prostate Cancer Foundation. And in fact, not so long ago, a few months ago, we gave a check to them for R500,000, that comes from the proceeds of the last couple of years, of Daredevil Run. So we raise awareness, men talk about it, we hear incredible stories like David's where it's so treatable, it's so curable if we're just aware of it, and we raise money,
I gotta do a shout out to Hollard because, I think you do things differently. I come across you quite a lot in my professional life, and I think the way Hollard looks at things is in not the rigid normal way that you would expect insurers to look at particular problems. And I think the fact that you have kind of sponsored an event like this goes to show that it's part of your ethics and part of your culture. And I did meet somebody from Hollard the other day who I have a business relationship with, and I kind of joked with her and said, you've got the Daredevil Run coming. And she looked at me and said, yeah, and it's coming out of my budget and I'm happy to pay for it.
Oh, brilliant.
And I thought, well, you know, there you go. It's part of the corporate ethos. And
Yeah. So, I mean, it's astonishing really because I said a little bit earlier, it's a race, it's a run, not a race. I have to say that the right way around.
Yeah.
But you'd be amazed at all the guys who just want to win it. There's nothing to win. So.
Heidi, I've let it go on longer than I should have, but I want you just to, where can people find out about the race or enter the race? Yes. Or
cool. So can I jump in
please,
there to just
please.
End with what Heidi was saying? So basically the Daredevil Run is taking place on the 13th of March.
Okay, around the corner.
The race will start at Zoo Lake at 3 p.m. And, it runs through Johannesburg in a peak hour traffic.
Okay.
To maximize awareness.
All right.
So tickets available at www.hollarddaredevilrun.com. And it's only 160 to enter if you have you want to get hold of the 10th run speedo. So 10 rand of your money goes to administration.
Wow, and Karen has written in, yeah, come on, Simon, put on the speedo, let's do a pledge for an hour. Yes,
like, that's quite delicious.
That is where, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it. Heidi, David, and Ed, thank you so much for coming in, and best of luck with this incredible initiative. We're 1 minute late for the news. It's just after 5, but here is the news.